Welcome to the Happiness Happens podcast, your place for all things happiness. I'm Simona Costantini, host of the show, and I'm so excited and grateful to be on here with you today. In case we haven't met yet, I'm a corporate dropout turned life coach and podcast producer, and I now run a six-figure podcast production agency out of my home. The Happiness Happens podcast is your weekly dose of motivation and inspiration to have a more fulfilling day every day. I've been having conversations about happiness with thought leaders in the industry for more than 3 years, and each week I bring on incredible guests to understand what happiness means to them and tangible ways to transform our mindset and ultimately our lives. I know you're going to learn something valuable today. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and join me for this amazing conversation. Okay, you guys, welcome to this week's episode on the Happiness Happens podcast. I am Simona, and today my guest is Nancy, and you are just going to absolutely adore Nancy. Her soul is so bright. She shines the most radiant light. I'm very excited to get into this conversation with her today and for you to hear this conversation today, because we're talking deeply about all of the things that shift within us when we start living in the present moment, when we start living in the now. And how hard times and really challenging times are teachers for us, so that we can look deeply into something else, how we can see something in a different perspective, how we can learn and grow in the areas that still need a little bit of healing. And so Nancy is just such a gentle soul, and I know you're absolutely going to love her. She's just so incredible. So I'm going to introduce her quickly to you. She's an author, a Pilates intuitive healer, spiritual life coach, and student/teacher/facilitator of A Course in Miracles. And one thing that I love about Nancy is that she believes in impossible things happening in the most unexpected of ways. You're going to hear a lot of her story in here today and learn how to align your mind, your body, and your spirit to really tap into and live the life that you want to be living every single day. We also touch on her book, which is called Happily Ever Now, Not After Everything Else Is Perfect, which I think is a huge, powerful mindset shift to have in and of itself. So let's get into our conversation with Nancy. And if you like what you hear, please leave me a rating and review of the podcast. You can do that on Apple or you can do it on Spotify. I appreciate either one of them. So thank you so much. And let's dive in. Nancy, welcome to the Happiness Happens podcast. I feel like this was a long time in the making.
Yes, and that there's no accidents to timing for sure.
That is so true. That is so true for our listener today. Nancy and I connected how many years ago now? Maybe four, three?
Yeah, I think four. Almost four, if not four, yeah.
Yeah, which is so crazy to me. And you never know how people are going to come in and out of your life and where you're going to cross paths again and how you will meet again. And so I just find it so beautiful and like so serendipitous and just lovely. So I'm very excited to have you here today.
Aw, thank you so much. And likewise, I've always just resonated with your energy and the intentionality that you bring to everything.
Thank you. That's so beautiful. Thank you. I really appreciate you saying that. I think it's like one of the nicest compliments you could ever receive. Thank you. So Nancy, we're going to dive into so many different things today. I want to talk about your book as well today. But before we dive in, before we get into all the good stuff, I mean, I feel like this next question is the good stuff, but I always open every conversation with one question, and it is, what does happiness mean to you?
That's such a great question, because it really is a feeling question, right? Mm. It's not just a definition, at least to me. So happiness to me is not just a simple sentence. Happiness is an experience. Happiness is something that you get to experience when you're totally present. Mm-hmm. And pure happiness to me means that you believe with your whole heart, mind, body, and spirit that nothing is impossible. Mm-hmm. And that you're inviting in that energy of possibility. And mm-hmm. that you are becoming the solidity basically within that, so that once you find that your source of happiness and your experience of happiness comes from within you, then nothing outside of you, even if it looks quote unquote unhappy on the surface, mm-hmm. has the power to rock you from that mm-hmm. experience. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. And I think that, okay, one thing that I think about when you said that is, a lot of the times we can use different words, right? To describe, mm-hmm. you know, being intentional or, you know, being in purpose and like that kind of stuff. And I think what happens a lot of the time is the significance of the words sometimes get diluted because we use mm-hmm. them so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think in some sense, someone could hear words like we both use, you know, I use these words all the time. And I think someone could hear words like that and, you know, just be like, oh, like it's just not true. You know what I mean? Or it's fake yeah. or, you know, it doesn't actually happen to me. Like, how do I actually make it change? Like, what do you mean by, you know, the feeling? And I say this because I feel like it's really important to like recognize that those specific things really are the basis of our happiness. They're like, they're just the basic needs.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, happiness to me becomes less about something that you're trying to achieve or mm-hmm. get, or some sort of thing that you're comparing your life to someone else's life. Mm-hmm. And it's more about that when you're totally in alignment with what's true for you, that's happiness. Mm-hmm. Because happiness then, again, it's not dependent on something outside of you. And so if someone or something, I like to say, is going to be your rainbow, then they're also your cloud. And so when you can take in that decision and that ownership within yourself, then no matter what the weather is outside of you, you still can experience the sunshine because it's coming from something that isn't dependent on something either being there or not being there in your life.
Wow. So it's this idea of detachment in some mm-hmm. respect.
Yeah, but detachment without judgment, right? Mm. So that there's no shame or blame or comparison, and there's no should. It's really about giving yourself the freedom, again, to step into that question of, well, what's possible when you believe that nothing is impossible? Hmm. And the answer is everything, right? And so when you really own that, it is, you know, it's like to say it is one thing, but mm-hmm. to mean it is something totally different, right? And so if you're saying that I'm feeling happy today, well, what does that mean for you? How is that meaningful to you? Does it mean that you're feeling peaceful inside of you? Does it mean that you're feeling accomplished? Does it mean that you're feeling connected? You know, all these different ways. And there is no one way to be happy. But what I have found in my own experience, and I talk about this in the book too, and I work with this with clients, is that when you get to know the truth of you inside of yourself, and you become so comfortable in that, that you basically don't even have to say what you are or who you are. You're just being you. And when that becomes an extension and an effortless alignment, right? Mm. Then that's happiness. And everyone else wants to be around that. They're naturally gravitating towards that. They're like, I can't really say exactly what it is about that person, but there's something inside of them. And it's not just charisma. It's not something, you know, that is just something that's fleeting. There's a timelessness to it. And there's an expansion to the energy and the space within that. And so that is happiness to me. Happiness mm-hmm. is making choices, but making space to have those choices too, and to acknowledge those for yourself. And then when you show what's possible in your own life, then you demonstrate for others what's possible for them too. And I always say, if it's possible for one of us, then it's possible for all of us. And to me, there's no greater gift that you could give to somebody in the form of quote unquote happiness than them realizing they are their own source of happiness.
Okay. Wow. And I want to go into like 1800 different directions with everything that you just said. I think where I want to start is, how do you even begin to make this conscious shift within yourself? Where mm-hmm. do you even start?
And that's such a great question. And, you know, that's the whole idea of my book, Happily Ever Now, Not After Everything Else Is Perfect, because mm-hmm. there's this, you know, tendency, certainly in my own journey, where I wanted everything to fall into a certain alignment. I wanted everything to be perfect, or I wanted to have enough letters after my name, or I wanted to have an expert validate me. in order to be able to even begin a search, right? Or that I wanted to know the right way to search. Mm. I was such a little perfectionist. I wanted there to be a right way to be able to look at my perfectionism. And I can say that now with a completely light heart, you know? And I think that's a big part of this, is that when you bring that gentleness with you and look, there's a real difference between an experience of looking versus judging, or certainly having a preconceived judgment. Because once you enter into the place of a judgment, then you're not leaving room for the present. You're only able to see judgment with comparison. So there either needs to be something you're comparing it to from the past, or something that you're anticipating it comparing to in the future. But neither one of those is happening right now. And let's face it, all the time is right now. There's not even one instant guaranteed beyond this instant. So if we can embrace that energy and we can show up and we can, as I like to say, be perfectly imperfect and embrace our perfect imperfections, then we can never fail. And it's not denying anything. It's not having goals and aspirations or any of that. It's just that now we have made our focus be on the now, be on being present with ourselves. So yes, we can look at our experiences from the past. Sure, we'd all like to rewrite things and we'd like to have a different cast of characters or, you know, different things like that. But you can decide what the purpose is of that past. And nobody can take that away from you and nobody can give it to you. It is yours. And so it is innate within you. And that's this idea about embracing that innate guidance. So it doesn't have to be big things. It can start with just noticing those little whispers within your heart or within your soul that are telling you maybe to go right when you want to go left. And all the world is saying, go right. Right. And then you're thinking, okay, well, but no, everyone else is saying to go left. And then there's that little whisper that's like kind of tapping at you and it's saying, but what if you just tried this one time? What if you just saw what was around this corner? Or how about even more than that? What if you actually did a U-turn, right? Like, what would happen? And so if you can begin trusting yourself, doing kind of quote unquote little things and silly things, then you can extend and expand that same intentionality into the bigger things. And that's how you begin.
Wow. Okay. So where my mind goes with this is, you know, I've been someone who's been sitting in that space for a couple of years, okay, of, you know, realizing the power of intentional and aligned decisions and actions. And what that's brought me is an upheaval in every area of my life. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, like, okay, because I know that it's the right next step. I know that it's the right thing to do. And it is not what is traditional. It is not what is expected. It is not what society tells you should do. Mm-hmm. And it's filled with shame and fear and guilt and judgment of my own self and of other people on me. And then it's filled with stories that, you know, other people tell me about me that I in turn take now and tell myself about myself. And so it's this like vicious cycle of having the awareness and being able to drop in, mm-hmm. and also being stuck in this like ego mind vortex, because everything around you is centered in that, right? People are centered in fear. People don't like change. People don't like mm-hmm. loss, right? So what do you do? How do you stay true to who you are and how you are, while honoring other people's opinions, not taking them as your own? Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm trying to get at here?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, there's no one way to heal.
Right.
There's no one way to do any of this. And you don't have to do any of this, right? That's a real shift in energy in and of itself, is that instead of I have to be different or I have to make these changes, it's I get to.
Mm-hmm. Or I just right? am.
Right. Exactly. And this, right? this is me. This is me. And I like to say that all of me is me, which is true. I used to give a cafeteria version of myself to people, especially dating, right?
Yeah.
Like I would share the highlights and I would leave out the lowlights and, you know, and everything else like that. And I would give this glossed over, like Instagram friendly version of my life. And I thought that that was actually being kind, or I thought that it was what was necessary in order for others to like me, because if they really knew all the, you know, trials and tribulations that I had been through, they would be like, ah, exit stage left, crazy girl, yeah, you know, all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
But instead of, like, you know, vomiting out my trauma or my crazy, there is a different way that I've found, which is that you can just share little tidbits here and there and kind of sprinkle them in. And that, again, you're not having any sort of need for a specific outcome. Mm-hmm. When you let go of trying to control another person's response or reaction to the information that you're going to share, and instead you're just sharing it from your heart and from trusting those little whispers, everything shifts. Because mm-hmm. now, no matter how they react, you did the right thing, quote unquote, right? Because you were honoring yourself and you were being true to yourself. And people pick up on that and they start to notice that. And they're like, I can't really say why, but whenever I'm with this person, I just feel comfortable, mm-hmm. or I feel seen, or I feel safe, or I find that I want to share with them. I find that I feel really vulnerable, but that I feel safe when I'm vulnerable. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I really feel like that what we demonstrate is possible with others. We give them permission if they were waiting for someone else to give them permission for it. And that's why it's never just about us. That's always about those that are waiting for us to share our light, to shine our specific form of magic in whatever way that's meaningful. And so if you stop thinking that it has to be about you, that there's something wrong with you, that you need to fix you, that you need to fit you into something else, and instead you make it be about something bigger than you, enrolling people in a vision that is bigger than you. Now they're a part of it and they're no longer apart from it. And when you do that, then you're able to experience whatever form of self-healing is possible for yourself, because now you're no longer going to war with those parts of yourself that you didn't want to tell people about. You know, I've found with my experience with looking at my ego, and definitely my work with A Course in Miracles has played a big part in this, which is that I'm not at war with my ego. I'm not trying to get rid of it. I'm not trying to destroy it or annihilate it. And I'm also not trying to be best buddies with it. I am learning how to look at it, acknowledge it, and not judge it. And I do like what my teacher, Ken Wapnick of A Course in Miracles said, which is that I can look at my ego and I can tickle it tenderly. I can smile at it sweetly and I can giggle at it gently. And I really can have that softness towards it so that, again, I'm not embracing it. I'm not taking it in and saying, this is me, but I'm also not going to war with it, because when we go to war with something, especially a part of ourselves, right, then what we're doing is we're actually feeding it power. We're giving it significance. It's only when we can look without judgment that we disarm the power something has. So it's like I mentioned in my book, a story about my little girl. She had nightmares, you know, again and again and again. And she would say, Mommy, there's something in the closet. And, you know, parenting 101 would tell you just to tell your kid, there's no monsters. Monsters don't exist. That's silly. Go back to bed, or you're safe. I'm right here, right? But instead, because I have been looking at my ego and wanting to not judge it, I was like, well, there are no monsters. And take my hand, my sweet child, and let's go open the closet together. And I'm going to turn on the light and I'm going to show you there's no monsters inside of it. And then it's like, oh, Mom's willing to look. I trust Mom. There must not be anything to be afraid of. But if I kept telling her while keeping the closet closed and standing kind of, you know, firmly in a mom position and not seeing it through her eyes, especially, then that there's no monster, she's going to be like, oh my gosh, there must be a really scary thing back there, because even Mom, who is everything to me, is not willing to go look inside of it. So, you know, we can take our own monsters. And again, we don't have to go to war with them. We don't have to annihilate them. We all have things about ourselves and we can look at them differently and we can say, what purpose is this quote unquote monster serving? Or can I rename this into a, you know, like I like to say, a purposeful redirection, right? Instead of something that was a detour from my path, or, you know, something else like that. So how can we reframe them? not deny them, but how can we reframe them? And how can we decide what purpose they're serving? And that then, again, comes back to that place of being our own source of happiness, our own source of contentment, of freedom, of choices, and of possibilities.
Wow. Okay. So in the last like 10 minutes, I think I've just gone on like an entire emotional journey. I just had tears in my eyes for about 5 of those minutes. And I keep thinking to myself, like, you know, I am someone who judges myself so deeply for the things that I quote unquote don't do. And I don't really honor the parts of myself that are good and light and that other people see. You know what I mean? And so now I'm going to cry. I've never cried on this podcast. I don't think I've ever cried in my life. And here we are. And so I think it's a really beautiful like permission slip to just know that it doesn't really matter what other people think about you and say about you so long as you're living in your own truth and in your own alignment. And, you know, what I've been met with a lot over the last little bit is other people's judgment of, you know, what I choose is selfish. What I want is selfish. Mm-hmm. What I, mm-hmm. this is whatever other emotion people want to label, or, you know, inconsiderate, cold, or like all these things, right? And it's so hard to listen to that about yourself when you know that your conscious awareness is higher than that. And then you also mm-hmm. can't help but adopt those stories as your own. Like, you know what? Maybe this choice was selfish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, you know, how do you flip that and realize that maybe choosing yourself was the greatest act of love that you can do? You know what I mean? For everyone involved. And so, yeah. And then the story that you shared about the monsters. In that moment, I think one thing that happens, especially with kids, I'm not a mom, I do not have children, but I mean, I was raised by a mom and I grew up, right? And so one thing that I think about often is how our parents react to things mm-hmm. leaves such deep and permanent marks on our soul in the way that mm-hmm. that our you know children are imprinted. And in that moment of you putting your ego aside, instead of yelling at her or deciding that what she thought was dumb or, you know, whatever story you would come up with in your mind, instead of that, you decided to show her that what she feels and what she believes is valid mm-hmm. and to learn how to trust herself and trust that you will always guide her in the right direction. And so yeah. I just think that's beautiful all around.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm so touched. I really am. And
you know, though, Nancy, I'm thinking too to myself, because I guess the other piece of this is when you don't have people in your life that validate how you, mm-hmm. so here's like another whole piece like that I think about off. I've been actually thinking about this really like often. When you make a decision and you are so concrete and firm in that decision, you know it's the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, everybody else around you tells you that it's the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. It creates this like dis-ease within yourself, and mm-hmm. it creates this lack of being able to trust yourself mm-hmm. and trust the decisions that you're making, because everybody else has decided that it's wrong, quote unquote wrong, right?
Yeah,
it's nuts because you learn to like invalidate your intuition.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's a lot of power, you know, that we give to others, and especially when we're trying to make everything be perfect or mm. we're trying to do things perfectly, mm. there's actually this little aspect of the perfectionism that rarely yeah. gets talked about. And I talk yeah. about this in the book,
yeah.
which is that being indecisive or granting others our decision-making power is actually a really great way to protect our inner perfectionist. Because
tell me more about that, because that is me. And you know what? I wouldn't label myself as a perfectionist by any stretch, because I feel like I'm someone who is very go with the flow. I'm okay with change, like all this stuff. And also, I guess, a bit of a perfectionist.
Yeah. And see, there's nothing wrong with that.
Like, right.
And that's just it, is you don't have to go to war with that part of yourself. So what I realized in my own journey, and this is in my own self-healing, right? And I can only speak about me as the expert in me. So anyone else can listen to this and hear some nugget of truth in it, awesome. And if not, awesome, right?
Great.
You just want to hear your own truth. But what I would say is that what I came to know is that there was a part of me that was oh too happy to give away my decision-making to other people because I thought it got me off the hook for the outcome.
Tell me more.
So what that looked like for me, especially in my relationships, let's say with men, was that I would start out. Have you seen the movie Runaway Bride? Mm-hmm. I mentioned this in my book. Okay. So I was the perfect Julia Roberts character in the fact that whoever I was with, I liked my eggs the way they like theirs. Even if in the beginning of meeting me, I had this phenomenal way of liking my own eggs. Maybe I put goat cheese in with dates or something like that, right? And it was my special mix. If I was with somebody for a little while, and especially the same type of guy that I tended to attract, right, was one who after a little while would say, oh, well, why do you like them that way? And then I'd be like, oh, well, then there must be something wrong with the way I like my eggs. How do you think I should have my eggs? Or how do you eat your eggs? Do you think you could show me how to do that? Because here I am, this little damsel in distress. And, you know, obviously I'm not doing it right because somebody else is asking me a why question. So I do think that when we go into this place of non-judgment, like I'm talking about. So if I would have asked my daughter about when she was scared looking at the closet, right? If I would have said, why are you afraid? Why don't we want to go in the closet? What's the energy underneath that? Even if it's not necessarily intentional, there is an judgment. Exactly. But if I change that instead and I say, my sweet girl, what's the reason you don't want to look inside the closet? What's the reason that you're not able to go to sleep tonight? So really what I'm asking is, what is the purpose of your fear? What is it trying to serve, right? There's a difference in that. I'm not judging her. I am actually being gentle with her. I am aligning with her. I am not putting her on the defensive. A Course in Miracles tells us that in my defenselessness, my safety lies. And that is so counter to what the world says. But I will say that since I have operated more from that, not always, because it's about perfectly imperfect, but since I've operated from being defenseless with people asking me the why question or, you know, any other judgments, everything shifted. And I even talk about this in my book. There's an exercise where I tell people to go through and notice how many times during your day that when somebody asks you a question, especially if it makes you feel kind of uncomfortable, especially if it's a decision that you've really not been wanting to make or that you feel like your way of approaching it is so different than what everyone else is thinking that you should do. Notice how that when they ask you, why are you doing this? Or when, right, is this going to happen? Notice how many times you say, I think, and then you respond with a, you know, the answer versus saying, I know this is true for me. I know this is the next step for me. I know that when I'm ready, this is going to come into alignment for me. You know, for years, people would say like, well, when are you going to get married or when are you going to have kids or, you know, anything else like that. And I used to be like, I think, you know, maybe a couple years from now, maybe da, da, da. And really what I was doing is I was asking the question back. I wasn't answering. So there's a real difference in that. But again, whenever you find these awarenesses within yourself, you have a choice. You can either judge them or you can be gentle with them and kind and curious, like I like to say, which is that you look at them and you go, what is the purpose of this? What is this trying to protect me from? What is this trying to serve right now? And then is there another way that I could look at this differently? Or what would it look like if I felt empowered before I responded? How would that feel differently? Or what words would I choose to use differently, right? And again, there's no judgment. There's that curiosity. And that's really giving yourself the space. And what's funny is that what I noticed is even the most nosy, even well-intentioned like family members, when I started standing in front of them, just in my own truth, and I would say, I know this is the next step for me. I know I am meant to remarry my ex-husband. That's a good story. And I know that I'm meant to have this baby that I was told I could never have. I know I am meant to write this book at this point in my life. I know I'm meant to self-publish it, right? All those things, everything shifted. There were no more questions afterwards. There might've been questions about, like, you know, people would say, wow, well, so what's next or something like that, you know, but they weren't trying to change my answer anymore because I wasn't looking for somebody else to take the responsibility of the decision-making so that I was off the hook for the outcome.
Right. Whew. Wow. That's really powerful and so beautiful. And I want to ask you, I have one more question for you, but before I ask you that question, where can our listener find your book and find you and connect with you?
Absolutely. So the book they can find at my website for the book, which is happilyevernowbook.com. And there's even an extra bonus there. And then they can find me on my main website, which is nancyreed.com. And that's NANCIREED.com. And you can find me on the Instaverse at Happily Ever Living or at Nancy Ann, A-N-N, Reed as well. And you can find me on Facebook at Happily Ever Living with Nancy Reed as well.
Amazing. Amazing. Nancy, my last question for you today is, how can our listener find a little more happiness in their day, every day, starting today?
They can choose to remember gently that now is always the perfectly imperfect time to begin living your best life.
Incredible. Thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast.
You're so welcome. This was such a treat and delight.
It really was. It really was. And thank you so much for listening to this episode with Nancy and I. Be sure to connect with us and screenshot and let us know that you're listening. Tag us on social media so we can see what you think of the episode and our conversation, what you learned, a key point that you wanted to take away and share with us. This has been super eye-opening for me, and I hope it was for you too. And with that, remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. I learned so much, and I hope you did too. Be sure to tag me on social media so that I know that you're listening too. If you love what you heard, please leave a rating and review. It would mean the absolute world to me. See you on the next one, and until then, remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.